Hey everybody, welcome back to the next episode of Encourage, Motivate, Inspire. I know it's been a while and I told you all that I was going to be consistent, but you're going to laugh at this, right? So I was talking with a friend and she was asking, you know, Court, when's the next podcast episode coming out? And I was like, all right, I'm going to tell you the one reason why I'm not consistent and it's going to make you laugh. And she's like, dude, why are you not recording consistently? And guys, I have the worst freaking allergies, like so bad. So I wake up on a day where I'm like inspired to talk about something and I'm almost always congested. And she said, literally no one cares, just record. So here we are. I am feeling pretty congested today, but we're making it happen. So being congested is no longer an excuse to not get on here and talk to you guys about things that are near and dear to me. Obviously you guys are here for a reason. So if I do sound annoying, you know what, sorry, but if you guys want to hear the message, you know, that's why this is happening. So, today's episode is going to be a little different. This one's going to be more about me, a little bit more about my story and kind of how I got to where I am. And this was also inspired by a conversation I was having at lunch with a friend today. And just kind of telling her a little bit more about me and kind of how everything manifested into what it is. And so today's episode is going to be very focused on the idea that it hasn't always been this way and that everyone starts somewhere and your time is coming. So a lot of people look at what I do now and they're like, oh, well, how did you get into coaching? Or you have so many cool things going on. Like, how does this always happen to you? Or, you know, stuff like that. And you know, when I stop and think about it, I really feel like I've done my time in the trenches. Does that mean that hardships aren't going to come? No, I'm sure they will. And I'll be able to face them with grace a lot better than I possibly have in the past and probably had in the past, let's be honest. But I feel like I've done my time. And what does that mean, right? So there's so many things in life that we can't control. And we kind of get the cards that we're dealt and have to make the most of it. And from a really young age, I knew I was different in that way that I always felt like there had to be a reason why something was happening, or I always had to know what was going on. And because of that, I do feel like I grew up fast. You know, there's circumstances in all of our lives where maybe we weren't ready for something and it happened anyway, or there's a circumstance with family or friends or relationships or whatever your community is where you kind of feel like, well, that wasn't fair. Or I shouldn't have had to go through that, right? But we all have hardships and adversity that we face that mold us into who we are. But of course, I will caveat saying it is our responsibility to learn, grow, and heal from those traumas per se. So I would never say that my life was like super difficult because again, you know, everyone's stuff is different, but I am a huge advocate of like, you are entitled to your feelings. Feelings are not right or wrong. And we kind of gaslight ourselves when we're saying, oh, well, someone could have had it worse, or I'm lucky it wasn't worse, or, you know, this wasn't really that bad. We're dismissing any emotions or thoughts or feelings we might have around an event or a circumstance or situation. So I do feel like I grew up fast between my physical health, my mental health, relationships, family complexities, you know, if you've ever, you know, been a child of divorce, things can get complicated. If you've ever been a child of a parent who remarries and maybe things get complicated, you know, school stressors, organization and activity stressors. And it just kind of felt like one thing after another where I really didn't know who I was outside of the things that were happening to me. And when I say I feel like I've done my time in the trenches, I mean, there was years where I was miserable and to be quite honest, didn't want to be here. And just didn't know what I wanted or who I wanted to be. And just kind of the only thing I could think about was not being in the situation I was in at that time. And because of that, it really did shape me into who I am. And, you know, I've shared openly with you guys before, I had bipolar disorder. I've had a freak show of mental health scares over the past several years. And looking at now the actions and cycles of the last several years before having a diagnosis, I can recognize seasons of my life where I'm like, wow, it would have been nice to know that that's what it was, or no, that's what's going on. Or again, everyone feels a different way about medication, but I genuinely feel that my mental health medication saved my life. And it's like, I wonder what life could have been like had I been on medication, or I wonder what life would have been like if this, but this, when this, right? We all kind of feel like, oh, I'll be happy when, or I'll be, you know, I feel like I made it when, I feel like I'll be successful when. It's never, these are the things that happened to me that I'm really proud of, or these are the things that maybe I'm not so proud of, but I've grown from it, you know, character development and stuff, personal development, as I always talk about. And basically all of those situations really shaped me to the point where I felt like I wasn't catching a break, that I felt like I was failing in every aspect of my life, that I felt like I wasn't good enough, that I felt like I had no direction or purpose. And it was freaking emotionally, physically, mentally draining and exhausting to just feel like I'm going through the motions. And those of you who know me well, I'm a very purpose, passion-driven individual. So if I ever feel a lack of any of those, I am miserable and I question literally everything. And going from my high school years where I felt lost and I didn't even know if I wanted to go to college, but it was like that expected thing, right? I always used to talk about way back when I started this podcast, before I like trashed all those episodes, of the expected life, right? We're expected to go to high school. We're expected to graduate. A lot of times, you know, there's less emphasis on it now because trade work is so important and there's a lack of trade workers, but it was like, you need to go to high school. You need to graduate. You need to go to college. You need to get a degree. You need to graduate again. You need to get some job that you're going to stay in forever and retire. And that's a good life. And I knew that wasn't for me. Like, that trajectory was not something that I saw. And looking back now, I really feel like I only went to college because it was expected of me. You know, college was hard. College was so, so incredibly hard, you guys. I failed classes. I remember skipping classes because I just couldn't get myself out of bed. I was anxious about assignments. I just genuinely did not know what it felt like to feel good, what it felt like to feel happy, what it felt like to not feel like that doom and gloom type feeling. And when I say, you know, for this episode, it wasn't always like this. I mean, where I'm at now, you know, it sounds cliche too, of like, oh, if you would have told me 5 years ago, you know, that type of thing, that if I was where I am now, I wouldn't believe you. But again, it stands true. You know, time heals, you know, things happen. It's just crazy to just kind of look back. But I wanted to share this today because, you know, where I am today and who I am today would not be a thing, for lack of a better word, had I not gone through all of that, had I not been in that situation where things were unfair. And I think some really pivotal times that I can recognize, right, is when I had been pursuing writing a book. The book's written, I need to edit it, and I just have not had the motivation. It's not a priority right now. But when I wrote my book all about mental health and personal development and journeys, I was talking about the four pivotal times in anyone's life. And I feel like that is, you know, high school and then graduation, like who we are as a kid. Now we're being, you know, thrown into pre-adulthood, you know, what's going on? What is that transition like? And then whatever that next step is. And for me, it was college. So that transition from being in high school, thinking I know what's going on, into college. And then, you know, that next one being college years, right? So we've graduated, now we're in college and we're navigating several years or however long you might have gone to school. And then again, it's expected, we graduate and it's that, oh my God, we're graduating, we're in the workforce, you know, what's that first job? How do these things, you know, affect who we are? And then a couple years post-grad, right? We're living life and we love it or hate it, right? There's some things that it's like, man, this is pretty cool. And there's other things it's like, man, this really isn't that awesome. And it was in those pivotal times that I can stop and remember how I was feeling. And I want to share these things today because again, you know, these are the things that kind of shaped me and pushed me and really kind of told me like, this is the life that I don't want versus the life that I do want. So high school is hard, you know, drama is a thing, drama is always a thing, but very glad to be detached from a lot of those people that caused so many years of pain and suffering. And in high school, you know, I had my diagnosis of couple of really complex genetic disorders that fueled a couple other things that went on with health-wise. And my escape was being an athlete. That's all I knew was athletics. That's all I cared to know. That's all I wanted to do. If I was going to go to college, it was going to be on an athletic scholarship. Academics were just kind of meh for me. And being diagnosed with that, kind of realizing that it was too dangerous for me to compete, that is when I started really experiencing depression. Not to get like too terribly personal, but there was a remarriage in my family and that middle group of first set of step siblings, you could say, was very, very difficult for me. That's where I really felt like I had to grow up fast. I felt like I was taking care of people and being a mom when I shouldn't have had to be a mom. And just really frustrated with relationships in my life. And I didn't want anything to do with it, guys. I just wanted out because I didn't feel like that was fair to carry that weight on my shoulders when I didn't ask to be in that situation. I didn't want to be in that situation, and I advised against that situation. And that was tough for me. It really was. It was one of those things that really defined who I was at a pretty young age. And then going off to college, questioning literally everything. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I have people to prove wrong? Am I doing this because it's expected of me? Is this even what I freaking want to do with my life? I didn't know. I genuinely didn't know. When I applied to schools, I literally applied to one school, and that was Bowling Green State University. That's where my parents went and met. It was going to be the only thing that felt like home. It was the only thing that made sense. I had no desire or drive to go to any other school because I didn't know enough about them and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I remember showing up for orientation, and I had decided a couple months prior to study marketing and study business because everything's a business. It was the only thing I could logically tie to. And they had me down as like marketing education. I love teaching now, but I had no desire to teach way back then. I didn't want to be a teacher. It did not feel like the most aligned thing, which is kind of funny now, obviously. And that was kind of the start of, man, what do I even want to do with my life? Like, who, like, I don't know who Courtney is anymore, you know, stripping away that title athlete and having to like choose an academic future and putting that pressure on myself to know that I'm signing up for, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of debt to not know what I want to do was terrifying. So go off to school, didn't know anyone, didn't have any family close. My health continued to take a downward spiral. Very scary months of my life, very much so feeling lost, failing classes, no motivation. And that's when I really started noticing the cycles of, I guess you could say hypomania, where I was up, I was feeling good, I was like too on, I was too go, go, go. And then cycles of like, I can't do anything, I'm so depressed, I don't want to be here. And it was in those moments that I, again, kept questioning everything. Like, who am I? Who do I want to be? What do I want to do with my life? Is this something that I actually give a shit about? And school just didn't seem to line up with that at all. And so it was annoying. It was frustrating. And like, looking back, I'm like, okay, like, I don't regret that because I met Brandon at Bowling Green. I met some of my, you know, really good friends when I was at BG. Do I feel like what I do now applies to what I went to school for? Yes and no. Do I feel like I could be doing what I did, what I do now without going and signing up for hundreds of thousands of, or not hundreds, let's be honest. Thank God. Thousands of dollars of debt, probably. But again, it's those experiences that shape us. It's the people that we meet. It's the things that we do. And it's the memories that we make. And so it was just kind of like, okay, like, I'm just going to go through the motions. And, you know, met Brandon fall semester of my sophomore year. And that's when things really started changing for me. Having someone in my life who came into my life when I didn't expect it, came into my life when I was not ready for a relationship, came into my life and really started to make me see who I was in the eyes of someone who cares about me. And that's when I realized I need to push through some of these feelings of depression, of anxiety, of panic attack, of mania, of feeling like I have no purpose, and really realize that, you know what, like, if someone else can believe in me, I should probably figure out how to believe in myself too. If someone else can love me, I need to learn how to love myself. And that's what really changed the trajectory for me, even though I still struggled, I still failed classes, I lost my scholarships. I was that person who can help anyone with their resume and figure out what they wanted to do. I was mom to everyone, but God forbid someone asked me what the next 5 years looked like for me or what I wanted to do, I couldn't tell you. I had no idea of how to put it in words. I just knew that I wanted the rest of my life to be different from the beginning. And that was really troublesome for me because then it came to that next pivotal point, right? Where you're graduating college. I still didn't know what the hell I was doing. I felt like I failed because I didn't have a job lined up. I wanted to be that person who graduated with options, and I was a girl who graduated with no options. And granted, sure, there were opportunities that were there, but they weren't what I wanted to do. And if you know me, I am very much so like, I need to be passionate about my work. Otherwise, I just don't feel connected to it and I don't perform at my best. So I've always joked and said, like, I either make a really good employee or I don't make a good employee at all. And, you know, very blessed and grateful to be self-employed. Self-employed has just like always been my thing. Entrepreneurship's been my thing. And, you know, all of my friends who have seen me and known me through these years, I always say like, yeah, you were definitely born to work for yourself and not someone else. So here we are. But again, you know, as I said, with the title of this podcast, it hasn't always been this way. And yeah, so graduating and still not knowing what the hell I was doing. And I was telling this friend I had lunch with today that, you know, the reason we're in Findlay is because of Brandon. And I didn't know what I wanted to do post-grad, but what I knew really well was events. And when, you know, we learned more about Findlay because of, again, his job, I was like, well, what the hell is in Findlay for me? I was like, I literally don't know what I'm going to do in a small town in Ohio when it comes to events. It just doesn't make sense. And, you know, I'm very grateful that he has always been so supportive of me, even in the darkest and most troubling times. And he was all like, dude, like, don't put pressure on yourself. I don't want you taking a job just to take a job. But as I shared with this friend, for years that followed me in my subconscious of, you like are not worthy of, you know, being taken care of, like you need to contribute financially. And this was never anything that Brandon said, but it was always in my head that it didn't matter what I did for our relationship. If I wasn't contributing financially, I felt like I had to put that pressure on myself to figure it out. And so those of you who know me knew that I started my first business a couple months after graduating high school. Geez, I wish. A few months after graduating college. And actually, tomorrow is 5 years since I started that business. Can you believe it? 5 years of owning and operating a business, even if my first business is not what I'm doing now. And, you know, having those months of exploration and figuring out who I was after graduating and still feeling lost and figuring out who I was without some post-grad, you know, cushy, you know, job title, you know, I feel like, again, there's all that pressure of you better get a good job and you better stay there forever. Cause that's, you know, what our parents and grandparents did, even though that's like not a thing anymore. Thank goodness. I love that people are giving themselves the freedom of exploration, right? Like we don't know what we like and what we don't like if we don't have trial and error. But anyway, I had those months where I was so focused on, I need to find a job. And people are like, just enjoy the time you have to just figure it out as you go. And I've never been a figure it out as you go person. I have to have a plan. I have to know what I'm doing all the time, or I just would freak myself out. And so I was like, okay, well, I've always talked about wanting to start a business. You know, what I'm doing now is what I wanted to do 5 years ago, but I was 22. I didn't have experience. You know, I didn't go to school for science of any kind to be able to talk about the things I talk about now. I went to school for business and marketing and entrepreneurship, and I knew really, really well how to start a successful business and how I would operate as a, you know, business owner. And what I knew, like I said, at the time was events. So thus LCN Events was born. LCN stands for Lifestyle Courtney Noel. It was very hard trying to figure out what to name my business when I was establishing an LLC. So limited liability company for those who are not super familiar with legal entities, I should say. And I remember being at Olive Garden with Brandon and one of our friends from college. If you're listening to this, he is a very loyal fan of this podcast. So shout out to him. He knows who he is. And we were talking about what the hell to name my business, right? And I kept saying, like, it's based on my lifestyle. It's based on my values. It's based on helping people truly, you know, live their best life and just figure that out and just, you know, building community. And he had said, how about Lifestyle Courtney Nicole? And it was probably one of the funniest moments. And we still joke about it to this day, all this time later in our friendship, because my middle name's Noelle. It's not Nicole. And in that moment, it was like, there's something special here. About this whole lifestyle thing. So thus the business was named Lifestyle Courtney Noel. And remember, at the time I was doing weddings, but I didn't want to pigeonhole myself. I didn't want the word wedding in there. I didn't want, like, you know, the word day in there. I didn't want anything to do with weddings because I knew deep down I was not going to do that long term. I just knew. And it made sense to have an LLC that really has lays the foundation for all the things that it could be. And so LCN Events was born. You know, it was a playoff of obviously Lifestyle Courtney Noel. Events, you know, made it very clear that, hey, there's events happening. Didn't necessarily mean, was it weddings? Was it anything else? No, there were a couple events that I did that had nothing to do with weddings that I'm very grateful for those experiences that helped me figure out I don't like a lot of events unless they're weddings. So again, that trial and error, that freedom of exploration, guys. And so that really set the course. I was very, very fortunate that right away, you know, within very short amount of time of having my website tailored to the fact that I'm a wedding planner, of being listed on the KNOT. So for those of you who aren't familiar with weddings, if you Google theknot.com, it is basically a very awesome tool to help couples plan their wedding. I was a listed vendor under wedding planners on there. Pretty sure my profile's still up, which is kind of awkward because like I don't pay for it anymore and I obviously don't do weddings. But very, very fortunate that all the couples I worked with over the years, I had 5-star review, Google, Facebook, the KNOT, Wedding Wire, Aisle Planner, all these different things. It just, things really started quick, and they were very successful and it grew very fast. So that's the end of 2017. Started the business in August, had my first wedding in October, had a November wedding. And I still had that voice in the back of my head, Courtney, your student loans are coming out of grace period. You still need to have a job. You know, you're starting a business. You're not making a lot of money. You're racking up a lot of credit card debt to fund your life, to fund your business. You know, there was so much financially that I didn't know. So many things financially that I just didn't want to discuss with people. You know, Brandon and I were very new in our relationship. We were maybe like 2 years in at that point. So it was just kind of like I kept to myself in that respect, but knew that if I was going to be part of this relationship, I needed to contribute financially. Again, not things Brandon ever said. It was just, I've always had a lot of fears and anxieties around finances. Don't need to share specifics with you guys, but that stemmed from the moment that, well, actually way before I was able to work, but as soon as I was working, you know, I really appreciated the fact of, you know, I need to work my ass off to be able to pay for my own things, and then really appreciating when you do pay for something and taking care of something and being responsible for something. So put all this pressure on myself, right? I'm like, I got to figure out something. And an opportunity popped up here where we live that had more to do with hospitality and events and weddings and stuff like that. So it was going to be the best fit for me possibly here, and did that for a little bit and really just had that voice in the back of my head, had that conversation with Brandon. I'm like, babe, like I really feel like I'm meant to do this full time. I know it's scary. I know income is not guaranteed. I know I won't have health insurance, but I really feel like I have to do this. And there has never been a single second that Brandon hasn't been supportive. And even if he couldn't see the dream or the vision in my head, he supported it. So ended up being full-time wedding planner. That would have been, wow, 2018, beginning of 2018. My last day was June 8th. I remember very specifically. June 8th of 2018, I was full-time wedding planner. I gave myself 10 days to really figure my shit out, really figure out how I was going to launch the business, really kick it off the ground. And on June 18th, I was like, we're doing the fucking thing. And 2018 was a grinding year, guys. It was meeting people and networking and figuring out social media. You know, social media then isn't what social media is now. You know, like I said, when it came to meeting people, setting up, you know, styled shoots or just trying to basically get to know the people, locally, but also in areas that I would want to plan a wedding. And the inquiries came in, the bookings came in soon enough. 2018 came to an end. 2019, I had 10 weddings. I was the type of person, and I still am, and that carried over into this business too, of I want people to hear, heard, to feel, you know, heard and valued and appreciated and safe and taken care of. And so with, you know, what made me different with weddings is I only took one couple per weekend, and I would only take a limited number of weddings a year so that my full focus was going into the couples that I worked with. And I didn't have employees. I was a team of one. And so it was very, very important, again, to not spread myself too thin. Yet, even though there were other things that went out outside of the weddings, like styled shoots and some other things, you know, I was busy. And in the back of my mind was, this needs to be the year that I make enough money that I'm actually contributing to our relationship. So imagine, you know, starting a business, it's scary, right? Like there's so many uncertainties. And then put all that pressure on yourself to just like do the impossible to be able to make money, to pay off debt, to contribute to your relationship. Imagine what that does for your mental health. My physical health was on the back burner. I did not take care of myself. I was not eating enough, or I was binging. I was not drinking enough water. I was going to the gym, but it didn't fucking mean anything. It just, nothing was happening. I was burnt out. I was constantly in a bad mood. And the people around me definitely suffered the consequence. You know, we have to remember that when we take care of ourselves, people in our lives, like people who care about us, they're winning too. We win when we take care of ourselves, and so do the people we care about. And my health, physical, mental, emotional, wasn't a priority at all. So grinded, kicked ass, really had a really successful wedding season in 2019, loved my couples. And, you know, it was hard, guys. Figure, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 hours a day on your feet on wedding weekends. You know, the wedding hangover was real. The next day I was sore. I was tired. I didn't want to move from the couch. I felt like absolute trash. And I did that 10 times in that year. And while 10 weddings doesn't seem like that much, imagine for those of you who are brides to be or grooms or people who have planned a wedding or people who have been in a wedding, imagine planning 10 and executing 10 in one year by yourself. Okay. I realized I could have probably figured it out if I wanted help, but again, when people want to work with me, I knew that they wanted me. They wanted my expertise. They wanted what I had to offer. And that's the same way with coaching right now. I don't have employees and I don't plan on hiring assistant coaches because I truly value being able to give that personalized approach in working with a select number of women so that I'm not spread too thin. So I can really help them create magic. And I can't guarantee that if I were to hire a bunch of people and have a bunch of different coaches coaching women. It's not the same. And I know some coaches do that and more power to them, but that just doesn't align with my values and what I want and what I want for the people I work with. And that was the same way with weddings. So as we all know, COVID kind of became a rumor at the end of 2019. And I could not have been in a worse place with my mental health. Granted, I had so many unique, badass opportunities in 2019. The business grew so fast. Publicity grew so fast. Publishing grew so fast that I couldn't really keep up with it, to be honest, until the wedding season was over and I realized how physically, mentally, and emotionally taxed, exhausted, and worn out, burnt out I was. And I was like, mistakes were definitely made. And now I have to really figure out, was I running my business the way I wanted to, or was I running my business in the way that everyone told me I should be running my business or told me what I should want for my business and that didn't align with that? So COVID, right? Oh my God, if this COVID thing is a real thing, I don't have a business. I literally don't have a business. I don't have an income. You know, income's limited when you're a wedding vendor. Guys, if you haven't been a wedding vendor ever, think about it this way. So if you've planned a wedding, you know that when you hire a vendor, you pay a certain percentage up front, and then you don't have to pay the rest of the percentage until, you know, a month of or a couple weeks before your wedding. So imagine being a wedding vendor, right? So you get a certain amount of income up front, and then you have absolutely no recurring revenue from that project, and you get paid the rest of that project. If, you know, if they book with you a year, year and a half, 2 years out, you're not seeing the rest of that for a really, really long time. So being a team of one and only being able to take on so many weddings, I realized very quickly, wow, I'm really not able to support myself financially. And that was really scary to me. So that became the pressure of, okay, do more, be more, all of these things. And so, like I said, when COVID became this looming thing, I was like, I've failed because I didn't achieve what I thought I wanted. And again, it all comes down to people who are constantly telling me to do all of these things that are frustrating. But it's when I really had to stop and think differently of there's so many uncertainties and what the hell am I going to do next? And I realized that when you have so many uncertainties, there's only so much you can do, right? When you have so many uncertainties, it's hard to be proactive. And I'm all about being proactive over reactive. And I realized that at that point, the whole entire world had to be reactive. And so going from being as worn out and unhealthy as I was to then having to mentally comprehend losing a business and not operating a business, to then having to comprehend, oh, holy fuck, I need a job. I need to look at a resume I haven't looked at in years. I need to network in a professional way. All of these things, that was absolutely terrifying, you guys. And I was not in a place where I could even mentally comprehend it. Okay. I was witnessing the worst depression I've ever been in, the worst, just absolutely feeling low. And again, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know I had bipolar disorder at the time. Didn't have health insurance, wasn't on medication, couldn't see anybody. And was at that age where, you know, I was just about to not be able to be on my parents' health insurance. I wasn't at the time. And, you know, thankfully my mom put me on her insurance for a little bit before I turned 26. So I was able to see a psychiatrist. But at this time, I did not want to be here. And the fear of COVID and losing a job, losing my business and having to find a job, it just was too much. And over the several weeks leading into the end of 2019, going into 2020, I had never felt so lost and so useless and like such a failure. And there's some things I'm just not going to share because I don't want to get emotional today. But it was bad. Let's just put it that way. It was bad. Anything you're imagining, it's probably worse. And so we're going to, you know, speed up a little bit. That would have been 25, not 26. So 25th birthday in 2020, and I cried the whole entire day, was having freakouts, you know, that quarter life crisis, felt like a failure, felt like I did nothing right, felt like I would be letting so many people down. You know, those who know me well, I love public speaking. I would go back and speak to classes and organizations and groups and all these people that I felt looked up to me, that if I just threw in the towel, I'd be letting so many people down other than myself. That's a lot of fucking pressure. Let me just say it. It is a lot of fucking pressure. And so I knew I had to find a way to keep going, but I just didn't know how. And it was exhausting. And so mom put me on her insurance, went and saw a psychiatrist. This is what pisses me off the most about modern medicine, is you meet with someone for 5 seconds and they listen to whatever the fuck you're saying just to pick out buzzwords. And then they assume that this is what's wrong with you and they throw you a medication, right? It's never root cause approach. And what I do with my women is root cause approach. I'm studying functional medicine right now because I'm so sick of all the band-aids. I'm tired of modern healthcare, not gonna lie, in some respects. Now, I'm not shitting on medication. Medication is needed. Yes, 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 yes. It's important. But in a lot of cases, instead of just jumping to that, let's try and figure out the root cause of some of these symptoms and start there and use medication as not a last resort, but a secondary. The primary should always be, you know what, why are we feeling this way? Because if we can reverse it without medication, awesome. But again, there's a time and a place for it. Not my point. Again, I'm not a doctor, not a clinician, not a therapist, all of those things. Do I have certifications in certain things? Absolutely. But I'm not going to mislead anyone. However, I saw this first psychiatrist. I mentioned, you know, depression, anxiety, doom and gloom. I feel terrible. And then I was diagnosed, you know, just anxiety, depression, whatever, and put on an antidepressant. I'm going to hit pause for 5 seconds because I missed a very important thing when it comes to college. Sorry if I'm going backwards. There was another time that I didn't have insurance, was put on insurance, went and saw a doctor for the first time in years, told him about what I was going on with like my panic attacks and focusing and everything like that and failing classes. And I said the word focus. And as you can imagine, oh, focus, you need Adderall. Okay, I did not need Adderall. Remember, I've already told you I have bipolar disorder. Adderall is an upper. So I was like manic for, I don't know, a year and a half. And it was very scary. I lost a fuck ton of weight. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. My hair was falling out. I was always sweaty and clammy. It was very scary. Well, guess what? I was put on Zoloft, and Zoloft is an antidepressant. So what? It keeps you from being down. So what does it do? It makes you a little more up. Well, for someone who's bipolar, that little bit of up made me manic as fuck again. And For people who have never experienced mental health issues, it's very scary because you're in your body, but you feel like you can't control your mind. What's even scarier is being given a prescription that you assume is going to help you and literally sends you to a place that you are so fucking delusional and you don't know how to stop it, it is absolutely terrifying. I said some things, I did some things, all things that everyone said, it's not you, it's not you. I hated hearing that. You know, everyone said I would forget everything that happened. I remember fucking everything. And it's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. And so being diagnosed bipolar, from my understanding, you have to have an episode of mania to be like, oh yeah, yeah, you're kind of fucking nuts. And I could joke about this because I am bipolar, okay? Trigger warning, yes. So that's when I really realized, oh, maybe there is actually something wrong with me. And what we know is that Zoloft is not the answer and that Adderall was not the answer. And anyway, I don't talk about this often, but you know what? It's fine. Spent a week in a hospital, getting off of those, getting off of Zoloft, getting out of my system after being, like I said, very, very, very delusional to the point where there was a fear of schizophrenia. If you haven't studied mental health conditions, bipolar and schizophrenia are very, very unique cases. Not downplaying or gaslighting other mental illnesses, but they're very complex in a lot of different ways. And so they're trying to get me off of those medications, put me on other medications. Well, those medications had side effects, and eventually we figured out the right combination, right? And I just remember being so frustrated that the first thing that came up was, well, let's just put you on trial and error medication without trying to figure out some alternatives. But now that I'm on the medication I've been on it for 2 years. I'm very, very thankful, grateful, blessed. I can confidently say I would not be here without that. And it's made a big difference. But again, as I'm telling you this story and trying to give you a background, when I'm saying the title of this episode, it hasn't always been this way. Where I am now is not what I'm explaining to you right now. It isn't. You're probably listening to this. If you don't know me well, you're probably like, whoa, where is this going? Or, oh my God, I had no idea. Or maybe you do know me, but I don't talk about it all that often. And you're learning something new. And you're like, holy shit, Courtney, I had no idea. Well, that was another really big pivotal moment in my life. Because again, I just shared what I shared about you with my first business and entrepreneurship, and then COVID, and then mental health crisis. And then on top of that, I had to somehow figure out how to process all of that when it was very hard for me to process all of that and get myself to a place that I could start applying for jobs. Because I remember talking to my mom in particular, and basically saying that, like, at that time before medication, before losing my shit, again, not intentional, medication can be a very interesting experience when it's the wrong medication. I remember telling her I couldn't even be a Walmart greeter, guys. Like, I mentally could not even comprehend the idea of being a greeter at Walmart. And I love people. And so the idea of greeting people and saying hello and asking how their day was, the fact that I couldn't even do that little thing because I thrive in that situation was very scary. So it's 2020. I'm leveling off with the right medication. I am applying to jobs. I still feel like a complete failure. You know, the world is a very scary, interesting place. And, you know, it was a very interesting next several months, next several years for us all, right? It's 2022 and COVID's still a thing. You know, who would have thought, right? You know, when the rumor was around, oh, we're going to close schools for 2 weeks, who would have known that it would have turned out the way that it did? But for someone who was struggling so bad with mental health before all this shit hit the fan, it was very, very difficult to not be in control and actually have to be as reactive and not as proactive as I could be. And so one thing led to another and opportunities started coming around. I was the most stable, the most normal. For people who deal with mental health stuff, we hate the fucking word normal. But for those who understand some form of normalcy, that was the first time I actually felt alive and actually felt balanced. And stable is my favorite word, especially with people who are bipolar. Stable is a very important word to use. So it's great to be able to say the word stable. And anyway, I was just like, wow, is this what life is really like? to feel this good? Is that a thing? And that's when I really started to go back and realize all the things that made me unhappy mentally, physically, emotionally in 2019 before COVID hit. And that's when I realized I need to not go back to that. I'm feeling really good mentally. now the physical has to follow. And, you know, during those years, stemming from as soon as we graduated in 2017, you know, I was severely under eating. I remember in the months leading up to graduation, I was literally eating a bag of popcorn and then two spinach salads. So a big bowl of spinach, cheese, croutons, and ranch. Okay. So if any of you know macros and know what protein is, what I just explained to you is I was eating no protein for months, people. So any weight that I lost was muscle. I was skin and bones, or that skinny fat concept that people talk about when you're small, but you're not really toned. You have some loose skin. You kind of just feel blubbery. That's where I was. 2019, total opposite. 2018, 2019, I was binging. I was not eating. I was going through these crazy cycles. I looked nothing like I did in 2017. If people looked at pictures, they'd be like, oh, you look so small and so healthy in 2017, until I explained to them what I was doing nutritionally and physically. And they're like, oh, holy fuck, that's really unhealthy. I'm like, yeah, I know. 2018, 2019, exact opposite. So it wasn't really until 2020, start of 2021, where I'm like, I'm going to start studying this. And there was a very pivotal moment at the end of 2020 when my first COVID job was ending and going into my second COVID job that easily could have been a forever thing, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. It wasn't until that second COVID job that things started to make sense for that vision I had, you know, 5 years ago of wanting to be in the health, wellness, lifestyle space. And that's where I'm like, you know what, if this job works out, that is going to be that sign that, Courtney, it is time. It is your time to fucking do this. You've wanted to do it. You've come up with excuses, but now it's going to make sense. And so 2021, guys, start of 2021, I'm like, let's go. Let's do this. Let's start studying. That's where my interest started happening, of the human body, of physiology, you know, just everything. How does nutrition work? How does personal training work? Like, let's learn about the body. Let's learn about muscles. Let's learn about all of the different systems in our body. How do things work together? Learning about the brain, studying mental illness, studying hormones, all of these things that I've come to, I wouldn't say master. I don't believe anyone ever masters anything, that have started to become my area of expertise, I think you could say. From my certifications and studies and ongoing studies, you know, we're an endless student. I've said it before, I'll say it again. My infamous quote is, if you're not learning, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, what's the point of any of this anyway? So I dedicated myself to be an endless student. And I love learning, especially when it comes to the body, because we only get one body. So we need to learn to take care of it. And we need to recognize what works and doesn't work. And so 2021, I was like, all right, I'm going to figure this nutrition shit out. I'm tired of under eating and feeling like shit. I'm tired of binging and feeling like shit. What the hell should I be eating and how much? And that's when I started studying macronutrients. Macronutrients being your carb, fat, and protein. And realizing that counting calories doesn't mean shit if you don't know how much carb, fat, and protein you're getting. Because again, when I was eating popcorn and freaking salads with no protein, sure, I was eating, you know, maybe 500 calories, which a lot of people think that that's amazing. And, oh, I only eat 500 calories. And I'm like, yeah, and you probably feel like shit. Let's talk about it. I was glorifying that. Well, guess what? I had never been so sick in my life. And so I'm like, okay, I thought I was eating a lot at 1,200, 1,500 calories until I realized that's not normal and it's very dangerous. So you notice my tone change. If you're listening and you eat 1200, 1500, anything super low, I'm sorry, trigger warning. You are literally deteriorating your body slowly. You are not meant to eat that low. Okay. There is a thing called basal metabolic rate. It is the absolute bare minimum that your body requires to keep itself alive when you're sleeping. So I always say, so your brain's functioning, so your heart's pumping, lungs are filling with air, the basic things that we don't even have to think about. That is the minimum energy required. Energy exchange comes from calories, okay? So if you're eating at or below your minimum, guess what? Stuff stops working. Stuff stops functioning. Anything that you think you're losing, you're probably losing muscle mass because your body's holding on to all the fat it has to keep itself alive. So if you've ever crash dieted or done like some quick fix and you lose all this weight only to gain it back and then some, most of what you lost is not going to be fat mass. There's a difference between weight loss and fat loss. and muscle loss, let's be honest. So that's a podcast for a different time. I'm not really trying to do too much of that education on here, but I share this because I needed to realize that I was not healthy. Crash dieting's not healthy. Doing some, you know, quick fix. When I say quick fix and crash diet, yes, I'm talking about MLMs, your Optavia, your Herbalife, your Beachbody, your Plexus, your It Works, your Advocare. Duh, there's so many of them out there. It's not healthy. There's a reason why that shit doesn't work long term. It's not sustainable. And there's a reason why we have to stop doing it. Because guess what, guys? You didn't fail that diet of those things if you gained the weight back. It failed you because it didn't set you up for success. So please stop thinking that it worked and stop thinking that you have to go back to that because it's not healthy. So guess what? I was one of those people. So I stopped that. I started studying it. I started learning about the body. I thought I was eating a lot at 1,500 calories. Remember when I said I thought I was eating a lot at 500? LOL, joke's on me. And I was like, okay, I'm uncomfortable, but I'm guessing I should probably eat more, right? We're afraid of food because we think that food makes us gain weight. Not a thing. If you're over consuming by a lot, yes, you're going to gain weight. And guess what? It's going to be body fat. But remember, if your body requires, let's say 1,600 calories and you're burning 3,000 calories a day, well, imagine you can eat so much food in between that and still be in a calorie deficit, which means you're going to maintain losing fat. You're not eating in a surplus, which means that you're eating more than you're burning. That's when you're going to start gaining. So wouldn't you rather, instead of eating 1,500, but you're burning, you know, 2,800, 3,000 calories, wouldn't you rather eat like 2,400, 2,500, 2,600 calories? It's a fuck ton of food and know that you're still going to lose weight. Why do you want to live in a place where you feel like shit, you're exhausted, you have no energy, your sex drive's gone, maybe you're experiencing loss or irregular periods if you're a woman, low testosterone and libido if you're a guy, you know, endo, PCOS, all of these different diseases that manifest when we're not taking care of ourselves, right? So why glorify eating next to nothing when you can brag about the fact that you're eating so much food and you feel good, you've never felt so good? That's what's something to celebrate, right? So I said, I want to be that success story to show other people that this can be done, knowing that that's what I wanted to spend my life doing. My life's purpose is to help people. And this is the way in which I wanted to use the gifts that I had been given. So that's where that process started. And am I am where I want to be? I'm not where I thought I would be a couple, you know, when I started this. I didn't know what to expect, right? We never really know what's going to happen. Because we have to apply ourselves, we have to learn, we have to trial and error. But what we know is if we've been spending years spinning our wheels doing the same shit, guess what? You guys know the quote, the whole definition of insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Let's be honest, that shit does not work. So stop trying to make it work. Instead, let's figure out what works for you because it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. What works for you is going to be different than the next person. So if you're buying into, example, Optavia, buying $500 worth of processed shit that is going to make you sicker than hell and waste money, if everyone's doing it, you really think it's going to work? Y'all are different in so many ways. There's a reason that people are not successful with that. And the people who are, guess what? When they finally realize how unhealthy they are, now they feel like they're backtracking and then they have all of these fears around starting to eat differently again. Fun fact, processed food is processed for a reason. It's going to be pumped full of additives, added sugar, sodium, whatever, because it's preserved. You know, how long could that stay good? We don't want to be filling our bodies with that. Are you eating real food? Are you eating fruits and vegetables and not some, you know, stupid thing that's got all this shit packed into it? Again, different story for a different day. But I said enough is enough. I figured it out. And here I am realizing that I look back and, you know, again, like I feel good. I feel like I'm thriving. I have healthy relationships with myself and others, physically, mentally, emotionally. I feel fucking fantastic. And I'm working on that every day. And health is lifelong, right? It's not, you know, a 21-day challenge. It's not a 30-day whole 30 thing. It's not, you know, 75 hard. It is lifelong. And life is meant to be lived in between our goals. So we can't simply look at it as some timeline of, oh, I want to be here by then. Because it takes multiple cycles. It takes a long time to heal your body. If you've been doing this for years, you're not magically going to start doing something and have that body that you've wanted in a couple months. You need to heal your body, repair and restore your hormones, your metabolism, basic functioning. So your body's even ready for a fat loss phase. So your body's even ready to build muscle. So your body's even ready to heal itself. So some of those medications you've been taking, you could come off of them because your doctor is going to say, hey, you have never been more healthy. Keep doing what you're doing, right? There's a reason that specialists exist. Doctors are generalists. That's why they refer out to people. So never be afraid to ask questions. Never be afraid to ask why, right? If someone says you have to lose weight and they give you a piece of paper that says eat less, move more, and like fucking be miserable, don't do it. Because again, if it's some one size fits all approach, it's not going to work for you. What works for me is not going to work for you. What works for my women is all individualized. None of them are the same. I'm not the same as them. We all are so unique mentally, you know, physically, emotionally, physiology, you know, all of that stuff is different. So let's celebrate finding what works for us. Let's celebrate feeling good and realizing that even though I just shared a lot of background in that story, again, where I am now, it hasn't always been this way. It hasn't always been this way, and your time is coming too. And I want this to be, you know, of course, the podcast is Encourage, Motivate, Inspire, but I want you to feel encouraged. I want you to feel motivated. I want you to feel inspired to realize that you are in control more than you think you are. You know, if I drink my water, if I eat the food that I'm supposed to eat and stop under eating and stop fearing food and stop fearing carb or fearing fat, because guess what? Your body fucking needs it. If you do that, if you stay active, if you prioritize your mental health, if you try and work on stress management, guess what? You're going to feel really good the next day. And what's going to be even more encouraging, motivating, inspiring is that you can feel that good every day if you do the same stuff, right? It's not, what I do is not a diet. It's not a meal plan. It's not, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. It's, hey, you can eat all of those things. If you want ice cream after dinner tonight, fucking have your ice cream. I'm going to teach you how you can work that into your plan for the day. Instead, again, it's a lifestyle. What life do you want to live? How do you want to feel? Sure, we all want to look a certain way, but don't you want to look a certain way and feel really freaking good on the inside? We don't want to look a certain way and feel absolutely miserable. It's not worth those physique goals. Instead, let's focus on feeling really, really good. Because fitness and nutrition, like anything else, is just a freaking band-aid if we're not taking care of our mental health and realizing that our life is so much more than trying to look a certain way. And it was when I got out of my own way, got out of my head, thinking I knew things, you know, going from under eating to binging to just focusing on professional life only, everything changed. Doors are opening because I put my health first. Opportunities are flowing to me because I put my health first. My relationships are flourishing because I put myself first. You have to put yourself and your health first, because if you don't, you can't expect anyone else to do that. You know, your kids, your relationships, your pets, your family, they're depending on you, right? So remember, take care of you. Remember that what's going on now is temporary, right? Does things happen for a reason? Sure. Do they suck sometimes? Absolutely. But remember, you're not stuck. Find ways to help yourself, even if they're little ways, right now, knowing that if you choose to help yourself, it's going to compound, right? We don't always have the resources we need, but if we work hard to tell ourselves, hey, you know what? Let's work through this together. Let's process these feelings and emotions. Let's find ways to keep ourselves going. Your life is going to change, and it really can be that easy. And again, I want this to be an episode where you listen and you're like, holy shit, I learned something, or holy shit, maybe you related to something, or holy shit, if she can do it, I can do it too. Again, life is so much more rewarding when we're being proactive. We don't want to be reactive. We don't want to be diagnosed with something and now we have to react in a certain way. Let's take care of ourselves now. You can heal so much with nutrition alone. You really can. I believe that. I've seen it happen for myself. I've seen it happen when I take care of my body, when I'm lifting weights, you know, I'm increasing my bone density. I am securing mobility into my future. I have significantly changed the trajectory of what my illnesses should be. Just based on some of the stuff that I shared, you know, I didn't get into it, but specifically, I am in control. Are things going to happen that I'm not in control of? Absolutely. But the things that you can control, if you're not changing them, you're accepting them. And if you don't want to accept it, you have to change it. It starts with taking action and realizing that you can have that life that you want and you can feel good. You have to remember that it isn't always going to be like this. Right? So where I am now, it hasn't always been like this. It's going to happen for you. You have to keep going. Okay. So I hope this gave you everything you needed to hear today and then some. And just remember that you have the power to change your life, and it just starts with taking action.